Today, we'll have Matthew's March Trip Report. That's coming up on this episode 208 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. And we have lots of trip reports, including the one today. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for this episode. I know how much you guys love the trip report, so today is another one. This is Matthew and his family, which included extended family. So it's his wife, his kids, and some parents and aunts, and so they all traveled together in mid-March. They stayed at Caribbean Beach Resort, so you'll get to hear how that went and to hear all about their trip, which included going off-site for a day to experience some non-Disney World time. So that will be coming up. And as always, I will have a quick tip of the day at the end before wrapping it up. So I don't want to waste any more time. Here is Matthew's trip report. Welcome to the podcast, Matthew.
Thanks for having me.
So you and I are talking on Tuesday, March 5th, and you are getting ready to go to Disney World, I assume.
That's right. We're leaving on March 7th.
Okay, March 7th. And how long are you staying?
We're going to be down there for 6 days. So we'll be there from the 7th through the 12th.
Okay.
So that's Thursday through a Tuesday.
Thursday through Tuesday. What made you choose those dates?
So in terms of the time of the year, we decided to do March because it worked well with my wife's schedule. She's a professor, mm-hmm. and that's going to be overlapping on her spring break. We also wanted to go not during a busy time, so we figured this would be a decent time since kids are still in school. My kids are actually not in school because we homeschool them.
Yeah. There are some spring breaks that kind of hit, but not too many. Like, it's definitely not peak spring break time. So I think that you will hopefully have good luck with those dates.
Yeah. I checked your crowd calendar and it said it should be kind of like average crowds.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it says that, because it shouldn't be too busy yet. You said you mentioned your wife and kids. So I assume that's who's going on the trip.
Yes, we have a lot of people going, actually. It's my wife and I, my 8-year-old son, my 5-year-old daughter. It's their first trip. And then we're also going with my dad and my stepmom, my mother-in-law, and my aunt, except my aunt lives down in Florida, so she's going to meet us down there.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people?
8 people total, yep.
All right. And where are you guys staying?
We're going to stay at the Caribbean Beach Resort, and we decided on that resort because it worked best for the room configurations that we needed. So we're going to have 2 rooms, and my family and my mother-in-law will be in one room. My dad, my stepmom, and my aunt will be in another room.
Okay. All right. And what kind of – so did you get the rooms – that accommodate up to 5 then? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we did. So my room will have the 2 queen beds and the pull-down bed, which I guess is smaller than an adult-sized bed, but that's going to be for my son.
Yeah, they're perfect for kids because they are not they're not quite as big as a regular bed, but that'll be a good size for your little one. Okay, now you mentioned it's your kids' first trip, so the rest of you have been before?
Yeah, so we're kind of a mixed bag. My wife and I went 10 years ago, and I've been a bunch of times from when I was a kid all the way through adult. My dad and my stepmom go frequently, and my aunt lives down there, so she goes pretty often. My mother-in-law has not been to Disney since this 1970s when it was just Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's been a long time. So this isn't your first time planning either, right? Like, you're used to the planning process?
Yeah, I've been in charge of planning the last few trips that we've done.
Okay. So you're the planner, and this is not your first time planning, but it is your kid's first time going.
It is. This is also my first time using a lot of the online features like the FastPass, the My Disney Experience app, all those things. Those things weren't around last time I went.
Yeah, I assume you had paper fast passes last time.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. This will be a totally different experience. But you'll have to let us know what you think because I think there's pros and cons of both.
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your plans in more detail. So you have 6 days. How did you decide to break those up between the parks?
So what we're going to do is we're flying down early in the morning and we're flying home at nighttime. So those 2 travel days are also going to be park days for us. So what we're doing is Hollywood Studios is the day that we arrive. So it's not quite a full day, but we're going to do as much as we can. And I pick that one as the first day because there's just not as many things to do in that park. So I figure we could get done what we want to get done in, maybe 2/3 of a day.
Yeah, and I think here is where you're going to see the benefit of the new FastPass system because you were able to book your FastPasses ahead of time. You don't have to go to the park and pull them out of the machine like you used to.
Yeah,
You
right.
can arrive later in the day and still have all your FastPasses booked. So early flight and check in your hotel and go to Hollywood Studios rest of the day.
Yep, that's the first day. Second day, which is a Friday, is Epcot. And then Saturday, we're actually leaving Disney and going to Kennedy Space Center. And then Sunday is Animal Kingdom. Monday and Tuesday are Magic Kingdom. One of the reasons I picked those particular parks on those days was to avoid the extended hours, like the early magic hours or the extra hours at night, because we're just not going to take advantage of those.
Yeah, and they tend to be busy, the extra magic
Yeah.
hours.
I mean, if we're not going to be there at, 7:30 in the morning waiting for the park to open, then I'm not going to fight those crowds.
Yeah, and they even if they are busy throughout the day though. I mean, it's just people who wake up late and they show up late and they just go because that's what they plan on doing. So I think crowd-wise, that's a good choice. And okay, so you don't have park hopper tickets probably, right?
No, we don't.
And are you on the dining plan?
No, we're going to try to save money that way by buying some groceries down there. We're going to place an order through Amazon Prime now. And hopefully that will help with breakfasts and lunch. I'm thinking we'll probably have to buy some food in the park to supplement that, but at least that'll help us keep the costs down.
Yeah.
So we are going to do two. We do have 2 dining reservations, though.
Okay, which two?
One of them is going to be at Boma at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we're going to do that the day that we're at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
And the other one is Beer Garden at Epcot.
How did you decide on that one?
So Boma we've been to before and we really liked. So we're going to do that one again. Beer Garden, I think, was we were just kind of looking for something that was more than just a meal. We wanted something like maybe like a show or some sort of experience to go with it. And so with Beer Garden, it's a different setting. It's the long tables with the buffet, and then you get the band playing. So we kind of wanted that experience to go along with the meal.
Yeah, and so these were probably not difficult dining reservations to get, right?
No, I didn't have a problem.
No problem with that. How about fast passes? What was your experience like?
So fast passes were fine. I was a little nervous because I hadn't done the online fast passes before. But I didn't have any problems. But I did log on at 7 a.m. on 60 days out. So I was basically on as early as I could be.
Right.
The challenge for me wasn't so much getting the fast passes I wanted, but figuring out the logistics of which ones we were doing, because there are a lot of rides that, for various reasons, some people in my group can do and other people cannot do or they're not willing to do. So a lot of the challenge for me was finding 2 different fast passes at the same time in the same park, at the same, general area of the park, and splitting up the group. So it's basically booking multiple fast passes for that same fast pass slot.
Is there a spreadsheet involved in keeping track of all this?
Oh yeah, so I work with spreadsheets all day, so that was a given for me. Everything goes in the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like the logistics of planning for eight people that are going to be sometimes together, sometimes apart. That's a lot to figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it was tricky. It involved a lot of figuring out in advance where we wanted to be at what time of the day, and who wanted to do what rides.
Yeah, and I imagine that was maybe especially tricky with your five-year-old.
Yeah, so she's tall enough to get on just about everything except the two 48-inch rides, Rock and Roller Coaster and Primeval World. So that wasn't a problem. What was more of a problem was the willingness of my kids to do certain rides.
Right, and you may not know until you get there what they're willing to ride.
Yeah, so I tried to play it safe a little bit. So I tried to book things for them that I know that they would not have a problem with rather than taking a chance on things that they would be scared by.
Right. So did your plans include fast passes for Flight of Passage?
Yeah. So with that one, that's one of the fast passes where we split up the group. So some of us are doing Flight of Passage and some of us are doing Navi River Journey.
How many of you are doing Flight of Passage?
So Flight of Passage is going to be me and my dad and my stepmom. I'm not sure what my aunt's going to do yet because she was kind of like a last minute add-on, and she doesn't have the fast pass reservations that we do, but she's also one of the people that probably would skip out on a lot of like the more intense things. And so then the other four people on the trip, my kids, my wife, and my mother-in-law have Navi River Journey.
Okay. So you'll both get a little taste of Pandora.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the dynamics of your group, are you ever going to have any adults only time where the kids are like back in the room with the other family members?
Yeah, I think we're going to play that by ear. The goal is to stay in the park all day, but realistically, I know some people are going to bail at some point during the day, whether it be for like an afternoon break or whether they just call it quits earlier in the evening. I'm expecting that that's going to happen. So I don't know exactly who's going to bail and when they're going to bail, but it's going to happen at some point during the day.
Yeah, I suspect it will. do you have anything booked that we haven't talked about?
In terms of reservations, no. It's pretty simple, straightforward Disney trip. The really only unusual thing is the Kennedy Space Center day.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear about that, to see how you guys like it. Are you getting there with a rental car?
We are. So we're going to rent a car from the Car Care Center. So we're just going to, they have free shuttles that'll bring us there. And then we'll pick up the rental car from there and just drive over to the Space Center.
And for people that are unfamiliar, there are several places on site to get a rental car. One is the Car Care Center, which has a couple different companies. It's located near Magic Kingdom, but they have shuttles that will come get you your hotel. And then some of the Disney Springs hotels have rental car desks in them as well. And so you can get cars there. And that's a perfect time to rent a car to drive out to Kennedy Space Center.
Yep.
So you have to, are there space fans in your family or...
I think we're just looking for something different to do, and also the fact that it has like the educational element is a plus for us. Since we are homeschooling our kids.
Yes, it's an educational moment, that's for sure. Well, that's a fun field trip.
Yeah. I've never been there, so I'm really interested in it.
Yeah, well, I hope you like it. What are your kids most looking forward to?
My daughter, definitely all things Frozen. So we have fast passes for Frozen Ever After, for the Frozen sing-along. I think that is the only meet and greet that she said she definitely wants to do. And my son is, I think he's just kind of up for whatever. I mean, he doesn't really have any particular preferences.
Yeah. Maybe the rides. Maybe he'll just like going on all the rides.
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching a lot of the Disney movies lately, just so they know like who a lot of the characters are and what some of the rides are about. So they've been kind of doing that. They really like Monsters, Inc., so I think they'll like the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor.
You guys will have to think of a joke while you're waiting in line for that. They ask you to text it in, you know?
Yeah, my kids do that all the time.
So think of a joke. That way you have it ready and maybe they'll pick it for your show.
Sure.
So, all right. Well, this all sounds really fun. And maybe I'll run into you because I'm at Disney World right now and some of our trip dates overlap. But if not, still hope you have a good trip and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay,
All
thanks.
right. Thanks, Matthew. Welcome back from your trip, Matthew.
Hi, thanks.
It's good to talk to you again. We are talking on March 19th, so you've been back a full week. How are you feeling?
Exhausted, but I've had a few days to recover now, so I'm back to normal.
Overall, how do you think your trip went?
I think it went really well. It went basically about as well as I could have expected it to go. The weather cooperated certainly. My trip planning all worked out. We had to make some adjustments on the fly, but for the most part, everything went according to plan.
Good. You mentioned the weather. So this time of year is when it can kind of start to get really hot, but not always. So what was the weather like during your trip dates?
So I would say the daily highs were like in the 70s and 80s,
Oh, not bad.
and the nighttime temps were like 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
There was practically no rain at all for the entire time we were there. I think it rained maybe 5 minutes one day.
It doesn't get much better than that in Orlando.
Yeah.
So you lucked out
So,
on that. How were the
yeah.
crowds?
The crowds were heavier than I expected. When we flew down, there were hardly any kids at all on the plane, which I was kind of thinking that would be the case because we were in the middle of, the school session. There were quite a few kids on college break on a spring break on the flight. When we got down there, though, I thought that the crowds were bigger than I was expecting, and there were plenty of kids there. So obviously, pulling kids out of school was not an issue for most people.
So my trip overlapped with yours. Mine was a little bit shorter than yours. And when I did my daily updates, I mentioned in mine that I thought the crowds were more than we anticipated. I think there are a few reasons. One was Mardi Gras, so a lot of people drive from New Orleans or Louisiana in general. And so that's why you didn't see them on the plane, but they were driving in from
Okay.
nearby states. And then there was also a lot of competition groups. They were there for various like cheer events and things like that. We predicted all that. Like we knew to take that into account. I just think there was a lot more of those people than
Yeah.
we would have guessed. So, good weather, slightly more crowded than you expected.
Yep.
Okay, so not too bad of a start, but with good plans, any kind of crowd level can be navigated. So let's start talking through how your trip went.
Sure.
You told us on Thursday, March 7th, you were going to have an early flight and you would be spending the last part of the day at Hollywood Studios. You're checking in at Caribbean Beach and you had a Prime Now order. So can you kind of walk us through how your first day went?
Yeah, so let me actually start with the Prime Now order. This is the first time I had ever used it. And I found out that if you go through the Prime Now website, they sell items through Prime Now and also through Whole Foods. And depending on which items you buy, it gets placed into separate shopping carts. So you basically, if you want the free delivery, you have to pick either Prime Now or Whole Foods, or you have to spend up to the free delivery threshold for both of them and process them as like separate orders. So when we went to check out, we noticed we had two shopping carts, and I was like, what happened here? So then I realized that I had to either do all Whole Foods or all Prime Now to hit that 35, I think it was $35 threshold. So we ended up opting to go with Whole Foods because that's where most of the items we put in our shopping cart were from. But it still processes through the Prime Now site, and it's the same logistics as a Prime Now order. And so they delivered it to Bell Services, and we picked it up when we arrived at Caribbean Beach.
Okay, so once you got the order placed, there were no issues with getting it at your
No.
hotel.
Yep, it worked exactly the same as a regular Prime Now order.
Okay, good to know. And what did you think of Caribbean Beach?
I thought it was a nice hotel. It met my expectations of what I thought going into it. The renovations turned out really well. I know there had been a lot of renovations over the last couple of years there. I thought the quick service restaurant they have there was great, and the food was good. The pool was great. The kids love the pool. I will say that the room that we had was a little small for five people. Mm-hmm. So we had my mother-in-law staying with us, and we had the two kids. My son was staying in this like a fifth sleeper, like pull-down bed, which is definitely only okay for a kid. He's a little under 5 feet tall, and that's about as big as you want to be using that pull-down sleeper.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point, because just because a certain number of people are allowed doesn't mean it's going to be super comfortable. I mean, that's really the upper limit.
Yeah.
And that is a pretty small space, especially when you have three adults. But okay, it's good to know that you like the food and the pool. The room was just a little tight for you guys.
Yeah, I would say if we had to do it over again, we'd be willing to spend a little bit extra and get two rooms, maybe at like a Pop Century, where we could get like a comparable experience, but have the extra space.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good tip. You did have two rooms, though, because there were more people joining you, right?
Yeah, so my dad and my stepmom and my aunt were staying in a second room. That was under his reservation. So we linked the two accounts in the My Disney Experience. But he did all of his reservations for himself in terms of the room and the park tickets and everything. I did mine, and then we linked the accounts together, and I did all the fast passes.
Mm-hmm. Were your rooms anywhere close to each other?
Yeah, we asked for adjoining rooms when we booked the resort, and they were able to give us adjoining rooms.
Good. Okay, so that worked out then.
Yep.
So the logistics of getting there, did your flight and transportation to the hotel go okay?
Yeah, the flight was fine. I specifically booked a direct flight so we wouldn't have to worry about switching planes. We flew on Southwest, and we actually flew one of the 737 MAX 8s going down there.
Yes.
And they got grounded right after we flew home. But my dad actually stayed in Florida for a few extra days, and his flight got swapped out with a smaller plane, and he got bumped to a later flight because of that.
Yeah, that has been a tricky situation. How did you know what kind of, or did you check before you came home to see that you were going to be on that kind of plane?
I didn't know going into it. When we got on the plane, it was pretty obvious that it was a new plane, just like because of the way that it was designed, and they had some marketing materials, I think, saying it was like the next generation plane. But then after the fact, we looked into it, and yeah, it was one of the MAX 8s.
Yeah. That was a sticky situation. Southwest did allow people to make a flight change, but it wasn't always easy for everyone. Incidentally, if people want to look up their type of plane and their booking doesn't show it, you can look at seatguru.com and type in your flight number and look it up, because when I got back from Disney World, I went to New York, and so I had a similar situation. I was on Southwest, and it was when those planes were grounded, and so I thought, I don't know if I'm on one of those planes. I was not. But if I had been, I would have been in the same situation as your dad and needing to make some changes. But yeah, that was an unexpected thing that you guys ran into. But glad you arrived home safely.
Yeah, everything worked fine. So we actually took the Magical Express from the airport to the to Caribbean Beach, and we must have timed it perfectly, because I think from the time we checked in at Magical Express until the time the bus left the airport was maybe 15 minutes.
Good.
Yeah, so that worked out really well. And the bus we were on was making stops at, I think, three resorts. And luckily, we were the first of the three resorts, so even that worked out for us, too.
Yeah, it was going to be my next question, because that can be the other delay in that process, but you hit everything just right.
Yep.
Okay, so you got to your hotel, you got your Prime Now order, got settled into your room, and then did you end up going to Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, we did. So our room was actually not ready. We got to the hotel maybe like 12 o'clock or so, somewhere around there. The room wasn't actually ready until 3 o'clock. Mm. So we just left our stuff at Bell Services, and we went to the Hollywood Studios. One thing I forgot to mention on the first call was that we rented a scooter from my mother-in-law. And we decided to rent one through one of the I don't know what the proper term is, but like the affiliated companies that Disney works with for scooter rentals. They're the ones that are listed on their ECV page on the Disney website. So we went with Apple Scooters just because they had the best prices. And the benefit from using one of those affiliated companies is that they'll drop off the scooter at Bell Services and pick it up from there too, so that you don't need to be at the resort to pick up the scooter. They'll just leave it at Bell Services for you.
Yeah. And the other group that was joining you, did they check in on the same day?
Yep. So my dad and my stepmom flew down with us. My aunt lives in Florida, so she met up with us for just a couple days of the trip, but she met up with us on Friday.
Okay. And the scooter was for your mother-in-law?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So how did the scooter rental from Apple go then?
Yeah, it went pretty smoothly. The only hiccup was the day that we picked up the scooter, I don't think the battery had been fully charged. So the battery basically died on us while we were at Hollywood Studios. Apple will actually drop off a new battery for you at the park, but we didn't want to like hang around and wait for the battery to be dropped off. So we just asked someone, one of the Disney staff members, what we could do. And, they said that they would comp us a free wheelchair and they would actually bring our scooter for us to guest services and plug it in to be charged. Wow. And then we could just pick it up on our way out.
That's nice.
So that's what we did. Yeah, so that worked out fine.
Okay. All right, good to know. And So how was Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, it was great. It was the busiest part was Toy Story Land for sure. That was like completely mobbed, like completely packed with people. But the first thing we did, I wanted to mention the first thing we did when we got there was that we went to guest services to look into the disability access service for my mother-in-law who had the scooter and also for my dad. So both of them have some physical limitations that make it basically impossible to wait in long lines. So what we did was we went to the guest services, we explained our situation. We brought some documentation with us just in case we would need it, but they didn't ask for it. And I found out after the fact that they're not allowed to like require that you provide documentation for your whatever your problem might be. But we had it with us just in case. So they set us up with disability access service for my mother-in-law and for my dad. And the reason we did it for the two of them was, well, A, they both needed it. And B, it allowed us to get everyone else on the party onto their service. So the service is good for the person who needs it plus five additional guests. So with between the two grandparents, we were able to get everyone on the party onto their two access services. So that way that allowed everyone to go on the rides together.
So they each have their ailments, but when you explained it to guest services, the resolution was the same for both of them. And then they were able to both get up to five guests. Is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. So they both got the same type of service. But each one was individually.
Okay, got it.
So my dad had, and they tie it to your magic band, so that my dad's was tied to his magic band, and my mother-in-law's was tied to her magic band.
Okay, good. I'm going to link to the DAS article that we have on the website, but I want to reiterate some of the things that you said. One is, it's true, legally they cannot ask you for your ailment, but also what is also true is that you can't go in and say, this is what I need. This is the kind of service I need. What you do have to do is explain your situation, and then they will propose a resolution. And so you just have to go into it honestly and allow them to work with you on whatever the best solution is for that. So I'm glad you got that settled early on. And as we're going, if you want to share, you know, how it worked out for you, feel free to do that. But you're – okay, so Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, so while we were there, the way that the access service works is it's kind of like a fast pass, but you have to, when you want to go on a ride and you get the fast, like the disability access services fast pass for that ride, it's good for however many minutes after you would be standing in a standby line. So like, for example, when we were at guest services, they set up our first one for us and we opted to do Slinky Dog Dash because we didn't have a fast pass for that anyway. And so I think they said it was something like 115-minute standby wait. So the disability access pass was good 115 minutes from that after that point that we set it up.
Right. So it doesn't save you time. It's not a fast pass in the sense that it saves you time, but it does allow you to avoid to stand in line physically.
Right. Exactly. So it's basically you still have to wait the same amount of time as if you were standing in standby, but you don't have to be physically standing in the line.
Right.
And you can only get one of those at a time. So like you can't book like five rides at once.
Right.
We also found out that the person who has the disability access has to show up to the ride and go through the ride line with you, even if they don't want to ride the ride. So like for Slinky Dog Dash, my mother-in-law didn't want to go on it, but she still had to be there with us. They had to scan her fast pass, her magic band, and she had to go through the fast pass line with us. And then at the end, she said, this doesn't look like a ride for me. So she just exited out the ride and the rest of us went on it.
Okay.
So I think that's probably one of their safeguards to avoid people abusing the system. Like we couldn't take her magic band and go on without her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll run you through like what we basically did that first day. We had fast passes for Toy Story Mania. So our three actual fast passes were Toy Story Mania, Star Tours, and then the other one was split between our group. Between Rock and Roller Coaster and the Frozen sing-along. So we did all three of those. Some people opted out of Star Tours and did the Muppets show instead. And we used the disability access pass to get on Slinky Dog Dash and into the Little Mermaid show, which actually had a pretty long wait. When we first showed up, we couldn't even get in to the show, like to the next show. We would have had to wait like two more shows. So that's why we decided to get the access pass for that one.
That's how you know it's busy.
Yeah.
It's when you have to wait two more shows for Little Mermaid.
Yeah. It was pretty busy there. One thing I didn't realize was that the Beauty and the Beast show either wasn't running that day or is no longer running. It didn't show up in the guide. And then when we went to where the show was supposed to be, it was closed. So I'm not sure if that's a permanent closure or just a temporary thing.
What time of day was it?
It was probably late afternoon, early evening.
Because it does run during the day.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if it was like you arrived after or exactly what the situation was.
Yeah. So we wanted to do that one, but we didn't get to it because there were no more shows, I guess. But that was basically what we accomplished at Hollywood Studios that first day.
Okay. Well, it's a good day. I just looked it up, and it's like today, for instance, the last show is at 5 o'clock.
So we probably missed the last show.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Okay.
Okay, so that was a busy travel day, but you got some part-time in. And then you told us before that Friday, March 8th was going to be your Epcot day.
Mm-hmm. So we did do it at Epcot that day. So our goal was to be at the Caribbean Beach bus stop every morning at 7:45. And we were able to do that every day. So that got us into the parks every day before the parks opened, like through security, through the admission, basically to wherever the waiting point was for them to drop for the rope drop.
Perfect.
So 7:45 seemed to be the perfect time for us.
Yeah, it used to be 8 o'clock for me, and then I missed too many buses that had just been there at 7:58. So 7:45 is a really good time.
Yeah.
I do want to know though from you how you felt about the internal bus stops at Caribbean Beach.
It took longer to get out of Caribbean Beach than to actually get to the parks.
Mm-hmm. That's a downside. They have a lot of stops.
The buses were always packed, like always completely full, standing room only. They would be telling people to move back so they could fit more people in.
And
so the buses were always full.
And you had an ECV, which added some extra time, but also they only allow, I think, one per bus, don't they?
They could fit two per bus.
Two per bus.
So the way that worked is they would always load the ECVs first at each bus stop. And it would take a few extra minutes. There was one time, I think it was maybe coming back from Epcot, that they had already had two ECVs on the bus when we got to the bus stop. So we had to wait for the next bus. But that was the only time where that was an issue.
Okay. Well, all right, so 7:45 was the secret to getting there early. And so you got to Epcot before it opened.
So our fast passes for that day were the Frozen Ever After ride. And then we had two other ones. I didn't really know what to do with the other ones, so because we did Soarin' first thing in the morning. And so I booked the other fast passes for the Nemo ride and Turtle Talk. So part of my plan was to get all the fast passes done first thing in the morning, and then if we wanted to grab an extra one, we could. So we did basically that side of Future World first thing in the morning. So we did Soarin' and Living with the Land, and then we had the fast passes for Nemo and Turtle Talk, and we wrapped up that part at about 11 or 11:30, and went over to the World Showcase. And we basically made our way around the World Showcase, starting at Mexico, and then coming out the other side, probably like towards the end of the afternoon. So we got in the Frozen Ever After ride, we did the Mexico ride, and we did a couple of the films at some of the other pavilions too.
And you mentioned before that your daughter was really into Frozen stuff. So, what did she think of Frozen Ever After?
She really liked it, and she did the she waited in line to do the Anna and Elsa meet and greet. That was actually the thing that was our longest wait of the entire trip. It was about 30 minutes. So she stood in line with some people for that one, and then some of us instead went to the Norway bakery and then just walked around the gift shops around there for a little bit while they did that.
Good. I'm glad you got a chance to do that because that's a cute little area for Frozen lovers. You mentioned before that you were going to be eating at Beer Garden. I can't remember if that was lunch or dinner.
I booked that reservation to be a late lunch. I noticed on the reservations that they switch over to dinner time, I think at like 3 o'clock or shortly thereafter, and they actually raise the prices from lunch, but it's basically the same menu. It's a buffet. They swap out a few things, but it's basically the same thing. So I figured we would do a late lunch instead of booking it at the dinner prices. Our reservation was 2 o'clock, and that was also late enough so that we could see the stage show that they do, which I think starts at 1 o'clock. So we were in this like sweet spot where we still got the lunch prices, but we were able to see the show as well. So we really liked Beer Garden. I thought the food was good, the show was good. It wasn't really that crowded there at that time of the day. We could have walked in and gotten a table.
Yeah, it's kind of in between meals. You were talking about how you started at Mexico and worked your way around, so I was thinking if you maybe timing wise you may have hit Beer Garden right at just the right time then.
So after we did Beer Garden, we basically just kept making our way around the World Showcase. I also in the morning I stopped at guest services and picked up the Epcot passport books for my kids, and so it's like a fake passport book, and you can go around to each of the pavilions, and they'll stamp your book, and they'll write something in the book for you in their language. I think it always said like welcome to whatever the country is, and they would do like a little doodle in there for you, and then the passport book itself came with sticker sheets, so you could put stickers of that country onto the page with the stamps.
It's also a bit of a scavenger hunt because to find those stations, they're called Kidcot stations. You kind of have to go into shops and around the pavilions, and it makes you see more than you might have otherwise.
Some of them were hidden. They were definitely placed in areas that made you go into gift shops, so that was obviously their intention.
Yes, that's where the desks are, but it's nice to be able to interact with people from those countries. So that's nice, especially it gives kids a focus and something to do while they're going through all the different.
I mean, for the price point, I think it was like $13 for the book. It was totally worth it. Like the kids got a kick out of all the little stamps and doodles that the people did, and they really liked going from country to country and collecting all the stamps. That was pretty cool.
Was this your first time being at Epcot during Flower and Garden Festival?
Yes.
What'd you
Yeah, that was
think?
pretty nice. It was really lovely. I wasn't going there because of the Flower and Garden Festival, but it was a nice touch. It was a nice add-on. We took some pictures with some of the topiaries they had there. So that was pretty cool. My dad and my stepmom went to Epcot an extra day than we did, and they spent more time going around and checking out all the flower and garden stuff.
Yeah, even if you don't do any of the like food or drink booths or any of the kiosks where you can buy things, it's just pretty. There's just so many more flowers than normal. So it just, it's just nice to be there then.
So we finished up Epcot by doing Spaceship Earth, and then we hung out in that Project Tomorrow area for a little while for so my kids could do all the little games and things.
And that's, you
We
mean
were.
the exit area of Spaceship Earth?
Yes,
Okay.
yeah. So we're kind of waffling on to stick around for Illuminations, and I think everyone was pretty tired at this point, so we decided to get out of there probably around 7:30 or 8 o'clock and head back to the hotel.
Yeah, and you told us beforehand your kids are 5 and 8. And when kids
Yes.
don't need naps every day, the schedule that you're doing is often a good alternative. Like you might miss some nighttime shows, but you won't, have to go back midday. So pros and cons.
Yeah, they were pretty good at hanging in there all day and getting through the day. There were, very minor meltdowns that didn't really stop us or anything, but yeah, they were able to hang in there all day.
Okay, so it sounds like a successful Epcot day then for your family.
Yep.
And then you
Yeah.
told us that the next day was going to be a non-Disney World day because you guys were going to head out to Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, so that's what we did. The day before on Friday, I scheduled a shuttle to pick us up at Caribbean Beach. This is a Disney shuttle, or it may be run by the car rental company, I'm not sure. But they stop at the Disney resorts and bring you to the car care center. So we had a 7:30 shuttle time. We picked up the car at the car care center, which was super easy. And then from there, we just drove out to Kennedy Space Center. It was about an hour. Definitely worth the trip. There was plenty of stuff to do out there to keep you busy all day. And it was really interesting stuff, especially if you're into like science museums or like space travel. It was really interesting.
And it's on the water, like you get to close to the
Yeah.
beach.
Yeah, you go over a pretty big bridge to get over there. I guess it's like on an island. And the interesting thing was, it's also like in the middle of a wildlife refuge. So part of the Kennedy Space Center is they bring you on a bus tour to show you different sites like the launch pad and the different buildings. And we saw all sorts of cool animals that were in the wildlife refuge. That's just like in nature, just regular wild animals. So we saw like bald eagles, we saw tortoises, we saw alligators. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, good. And so how long did you end up doing that? What time did you get back?
Yeah, we were there all day. I think by the time we dropped off the car back at the car care center, and took the shuttle back to Caribbean Beach, it was like 6 o'clock. And so we had dinner at the hotel, and then we went to the pool after that.
Good. Is there any part of you that wish you had kept the car at the hotel?
No, no. It would have gotten us to the parks quicker, I guess, but I didn't. I'd rather, stick it out on the bus than pay the fees associated with keeping the car at the
Yeah.
hotel.
Yeah. It's not quite as attractive as it used to be with the daily fees that the hotel charges now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's just at moderate hotels, most of them, you can kind of pull up to your room depending on where your room is. But like, it's kind of nice if you do have your own car.
Yeah, there
But
was parking pretty close to the rooms. Our room had a nice view of like a, it was a standard view, and it was overlooking a patio, which was perfect. But yeah, the parking was pretty close by the room.
yeah, if you do have a car, it can be nice at the moderates. Okay, so that was your day out of the park, and now you're back in the park on Sunday at Animal Kingdom.
So our fast passes for Animal Kingdom were Kilimanjaro Safaris, Expedition Everest, and we split up the group for the third fast pass for the two different Pandora rides. So we were able to cover pretty much everything in Animal Kingdom over the course of the day. Animal Kingdom was the one day where we were at the park from when it opened until when it closed. So we covered basically everything in the park. This is one of the times we used the disability access pass too. We used that to get on Dinosaur. That was the only time we used it that day. We did find out though that you cannot use the disability pass to get a fast pass for Rivers of Light. So you either already have the regular fast pass for that or you go in standby. And the standby was no big deal at all. I think we showed up to the show maybe 20 or 30 minutes before it started, and we didn't have a problem at all getting seats.
Okay, good to know. It used to be a lot harder, and it's gotten easier recently.
Yeah, I think they were actually doing two shows that night, and we were there for the first show.
So how did your day, you got everything done that you wanted to do, and there weren't any issues, or how did it go?
We did pretty much the entire park that day. We started out on the Africa side. We did Gorilla Falls, Kilimanjaro Safari, the Lion King show. We did the Maharaja Jungle Trek. We did Expedition Everest. Some people in my group did not go on Expedition Everest. It was too intense for them. So they went to the Up Bird show, which they thought was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you got to do something during that time, it's not too far from where we were for Expedition Everest.
I would agree with him that it is just okay.
My daughter did get picked to do something in the show. They made like a human tunnel or something, and a bird flew through the kids or something like that. So that was kind of cool. We did It's Tough to Be a Bug. We did Dinosaur. I took my son on Primeval World, but my daughter wasn't tall enough for that ride, so she just hung out in that little carnival area and did some of the like little carnival games.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of technology issues that day, so we tried to do a mobile order for lunch at the Harambe Market, and the order went through okay on the phone on the Disney app, but when we got there, it wouldn't let us say that we were here. Like, it just kept hanging up. So we ended up like just walking up to the counter and being like, you know, we're having a problem with the app. So they basically just put our order through and right there on the spot. And we just had to wait like a couple minutes for the food.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Super frustrating.
Yeah,
I know.
That was the only time that we tried to use it too.
Okay. I know people that the mobile order button doesn't work, period, in their app. And it's just, it's so confusing when everybody else can do it, but you can't, or your version of the app is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's just strange. But you work.
The other glitch we had was with our Pandora fast passes, which is like, you know, everyone's worst nightmare. Your Pandora fast pass doesn't mm-hmm. work. So I think there was some sort of issue with the disability access pass overriding the Pandora pass. I don't know what happened, but when we got there, they said, oh, you've already redeemed this fast pass at like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I was like, well, that's impossible, because we weren't even here at 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, we were off on the other side of the park. They didn't really give us too much of a hassle about it. They let us go in, I think. And it was only like some people's fast passes didn't work and other people's did. I didn't really know what was going on, but they didn't put up too much of a stink, and they just let us go.
Okay. And how did you like it?
Yeah, so I went on Flight of Passage with my daughter. We both really liked it. I thought it was a great ride. I'm not really too much into Avatar. I don't care about Avatar. So they could have stuck any theme at all on that ride, and I thought it would have been good. My daughter's five. She liked it, but she thought it was maybe a little too intense for her. But she did like it, so it's fine for 5-year-olds.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful, even if you don't like Avatar.
Yeah, I do think that the wait was pretty outrageous for it. There's no way I would wait like 3 hours in line for that ride. But with a fast pass, totally worth it.
Yeah, it's been open almost 2 years, and those wait times are still so intense. But who knows? Yeah. When the Star Wars stuff opens, maybe the crowds will shift over to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, the waits for that one were still about 2.5 to 3 hours all day.
Yeah, that is crazy. You mentioned that you had a reservation at Boma. Did you guys end up eating there for dinner?
Yeah, we did. So what we did was we took the resort shuttle from Animal Kingdom to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we went to Boma for dinner. I would have preferred to do a lunch there, but they don't serve lunch at Boma. It's only breakfast and dinner. So we booked the earliest reservation we could, which was 5 o'clock. The food was fantastic. I've eaten there twice now, and both times it was awesome. So if if someone's at Animal Kingdom, that's the easiest way to get to Boma. Just take the bus from Animal Kingdom to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, I wish there was a walking path or something. It'd be really nice if you could just walk over there. But it's not, it's a very short bus ride though, so. So this was like, because you mentioned you were at Animal Kingdom all day, so for dinner you just took a little break to go eat at Boma.
Basically. Yeah, it took maybe between taking the bus over there and then eating and then coming. And we spent a little bit of time at the Animal Kingdom Lodge just like walking around and checking out stuff. And my daughter got roped into doing some little activity that they were doing there. It was like a drum circle or something. So she did that while we were waiting for the reservation. So we were probably outside of Animal Kingdom for maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, a little out of the park break. And then you went back and did other things, including seeing Rivers of Light. What did you think of Rivers of Light?
It was a nice show. The adults definitely liked it more than the kids did, but I thought it was a really nice show.
It's pretty.
I mean, it doesn't have a lot of fireworks or any like big spectacular things like that, but it's pretty cool. Like the projections that they do onto the water were pretty cool.
Yeah, they can't do the fireworks because of the animals. But they do what they can with the water screens and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's worth sticking around for.
So, especially in a standby line of only like, what'd you say, 20 minutes or something like that. That's not too bad.
There was basically no actual standby line. It was just you walk right in.
Yeah.
So showed up like 20 minutes early, and we got seats, no problem.
That's not too bad at all. So a successful Animal Kingdom day, and the one park that we haven't talked about yet is Magic Kingdom. So, we have 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, the last 2 full days of your trip at Magic Kingdom. So, can you walk us through this? And was there any part of you or anybody in your group that this time, whole time was thinking, where's the castle? Or like, was there anybody like asking for Magic Kingdom, or did it work out okay to save it to the end?
So my kids have never been before, so they didn't even know what to like. They've seen some things online, they've seen some pictures and some videos, but they didn't really know what they were getting into. So for them, like every park was cool. The park my son was actually most looking forward to was Animal Kingdom because he really likes animals. But Magic Kingdom, I saved it for the end only for scheduling purposes to. I wanted to pick the days that it would be least crowded at Magic Kingdom, so I avoided the weekend for that reason. I avoided the days where they had the extra magic hours. So it just happened to be like it was the last 2 days. I didn't pick it to be the last 2 days on purpose. It just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, there's so many factors to consider when you're putting all the puzzle pieces together. And as you mentioned, the weekends, extra magic hours, those can all be factor in. So how was your first Magic Kingdom day on Monday then?
Yeah, Monday was great. We were there obviously at Rope Drop. Our three fast passes for that day were so I tried to focus on the Frontierland Adventureland side. So we did our fast passes were Splash Mountain, Jungle Cruise, and Peter Pan. And the first ride we did that day was Thunder Mountain. No wait at all because it was the first thing in the morning. And we did Pirates of the Caribbean. We did the Tiki Room, which afterwards people were like, "Why did we do the Tiki Room?" But it was fine. I mean, it was a good, little 20-minute break to get out of the sun or whatever. When we went to use the Splash Mountain Fast Pass, the ride was actually closed, and they converted it to one of those like any ride fast passes. But I decided to hold out and wait for it to reopen. So sure enough, I think after we got off maybe Pirates of the Caribbean or Jungle Cruise, one of those, we went back over to Splash Mountain. We got through the entire ride. We went down the big fall at the end, and we were just turning the corner to get back to the unloading area, and the ride stopped. And so they said we were so close. Like I could see like where we were supposed to get off the ride. It was like right there in front of us. So they'd made a few announcements like it's going to be back up and running in just a minute. Hang on. And then eventually they said we're going to have to evacuate everyone off the ride. So they started at the people that were furthest away from the exit and worked their way up to the people that were closest. So we were like the second closest riders to the exit. So we got off basically like second to last. We were probably on there for a good 30 minutes waiting to get off.
Wow, that's a long wait.
Yeah.
You know who I
Luckily, like we
think,
were.
about though, whenever that ride stops is, you know how
Yeah.
after the big drop, there are little tiny waterfalls along the way, and when you
Yeah.
go by them, but if you're stuck right in front of one of those, you're literally just
Yeah,
being like,
yeah.
it's like you're in your own little personal water fountain for 30 minutes or whatever. That seems like a nightmare to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so we basically sat there and waited people stream by us that had been unloaded already. It was funny seeing like all the cast members in like this like kind of like controlled panic. Like they were trying to get people off as fast as possible, but this is definitely something like they did not want to be in this situation.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're in it a
So
lot because that ride does break down.
yeah. So we got comped a free another one of those free like any ride fast passes, which we ended up using to do Buzz Lightyear, I think. So that was good. I mean, we lost a half an hour, but we got a free fast pass out of the deal. So this was the day where I used the most fast passes. So we kind of made our way through Fantasyland, and as we were doing rides, I kept booking new fast passes for more stuff. So I think all in all, I ended up getting like six fast passes that day.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So we basically made our way through a lot of Fantasyland that day too. We did Mickey's PhilharMagic. We did Small World. We did Peter Pan, and then we did a few other things too. I think we did Monsters, Inc. that day, and we did Buzz Lightyear that day too.
So not only did you do Frontier and Land and Adventureland, and you did a lot of Fantasyland, which is huge because that's where a lot of the attractions and lines are.
Yeah, that was kind of unexpected. I was at that point in the day, I was just kind of going where the fast passes took me. So whatever had a fast pass available, that's what we would do. So we got extra fast passes for, I think we got one for Monsters, Inc. We didn't really even need it, but I had one. And we got a fast pass for the Little Mermaid ride.
And are you getting fast passes for your whole group when you're doing this?
Yes.
Because that's a lot. I mean, it's one thing to be able to
Yeah.
do it for one or two people, which is often the case for me just because that's how I travel, but to do it for your whole group, that's a lot of availability. So that's even more amazing.
Yeah, so I mean, we couldn't get fast passes for the premiere stuff. Like those were not available. But for kind of like the lower tier stuff, like Monsters, Inc. or the Little Mermaid ride, we were able to get some fast passes for those.
Yeah, but even if they have like a 15-minute wait, or, so like the Little Mermaid ride, getting a fast pass will save you a little bit of time at least.
Yeah, for sure. And the Monsters, Inc. Fast Pass basically guaranteed us a spot in the next show, so that we wouldn't have any issues like the Little Mermaid show where we'd have to wait like multiple shows.
Right. Yep, good point.
The one thing that we tried to do that we could not do because it was not handicap accessible was the People Mover, which I was kind of surprised. I guess you have to like walk up that ramp to get up there, and there was no way to get up there. Like by an elevator or anything like that. So we just skipped that one, but that was no big deal.
What did you eat on this day?
So we always brought in food with us, whether it be snacks or lunch food or whatever. We had a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We had a lot of like granola bars and things like that. We did eat lunch at, we always ate breakfast in the hotel rooms every day. And we had like cereal and we had yogurt and things like that that we got through the Prime Now order. But for lunch this day, we went to Cosmic Rays, which was fine. I mean, it was like, hamburgers and stuff like that. And then we also did, I made it a point to go to the Sunshine Tree to get Dole Whips. So we did that before we ended up leaving for the day. I think that was one of the last things we did, was we went to go get the Dole Whips.
And you didn't do mobile order for that?
No. We had that like fiasco with the mobile order in Animal Kingdom, and it kind of turned us off from mobile ordering.
It may have happened again. I don't know. But sometimes that's the best use of mobile order is for Dole Whips.
Yeah.
It's a popular place.
It was. The line, it was a good, probably 15-minute wait, 20-minute wait maybe.
Yep. And was this your first time having a Dole Whip or not?
Yeah, it was.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. I really liked it. I wish if the wait wasn't so long, I would have gone back in line and gotten another one probably.
Wow, nice.
This was one of the hotter days of the trip. I think it got up into the high 80s this day, and it was like sunny all day. So we were kind of wiped out by about 4:30, 5 o'clock. So we gave the kids the option of sticking it out to see the fireworks, the Happily Ever After show, or just going back to the resort and going to the pool. And they, without hesitation, decided to go back to the pool. So this was our second pool day.
I knew you were going to say that. Kids seem to always choose that, and they will probably remember that too.
Yeah, they love that pool. It was like perfect for what they were looking for out of a pool. It had it was a pretty big pool, and it had some water slides, and it had like cannons that shot water, and there was a hot tub there, and so it was perfect for what we needed.
Yeah, and I think this goes along with the thing of, like I always say, as much as I love fireworks and stuff, if you're just there to check things off a list, you're going to, not do what is best for the group sometimes. So you may not have been able to check off, fireworks that night, but you had fun at the pool. So that's what matters.
Yeah.
But you had another Magic Kingdom day coming up, though, too.
Yeah, we did. So I just wanted to say quickly, the cool thing about the pools at Caribbean Beach is that they have the main pool, and then they also have smaller pools at each of the like the little areas. So we had a pool that was really close to our room. So after the main pool closed, we just moved to the other pool, which was open later. So we probably spent a total of like 2 or 3 hours at the pools that night.
Yeah, those are the quiet pools. You guys also have a Caribbean Beach, a playground. Did you guys go out there at all?
We didn't make it out there just because it kind of like didn't really fit into what we were doing. But we were there. We knew it was there. We just didn't really get over to it.
Yeah. It's an interesting, unique thing about Caribbean Beach because it's on its own island. So you can kind of go out there and play.
We did walk across the island a few times. Because Jamaica, so to get from where we were staying in Jamaica to the main building where the pool was, you have to walk across. The fastest way is to walk across that island. And they had some other cool stuff on there too. Like they had, they were doing like nighttime movies on that little island. And they were doing, I think they did like campfires there in the evenings.
That was pretty cool. You can roast marshmallows there for free.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it's a fun little area. But you guys enjoyed the pool, so.
Yep.
That's good. Oh, so one more day in the parks at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we went back to Magic Kingdom the next morning. So our fast passes that day were Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Buzz Lightyear. And then the last fast pass was a split between some people had Space Mountain and some people had Barnstormer. So those were our three fast passes. And I booked them all in the morning. So that if we wanted to book more fast passes, we could do that. We could use up those and then book more right after that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we did that day was Winnie the Pooh. And we got kind of stuck in the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train mass of people that was walking in that direction at park opening.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
Because, it was like I didn't think we were going to make it there in one piece. It was ridiculous. The wait, so when we... This was, like 9:05 when we got to Winnie the Pooh, and the wait for Seven Dwarfs, which was right across the road, was already 115 minutes. And, I was like, thank God we have a fast pass for that, because we would not have done that ride if it wasn't for the fast pass.
Yep. It builds quickly. People are so aggressive about getting there.
Yeah.
But you were tucked safely over at Winnie the Pooh with no wait.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh was fine. We did Winnie the Pooh. Then we went right across the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I thought that was a really nice ride, but again, probably, I personally would not have waited 2 hours in line for that. But for Fast Pass, it was a great ride. And then from there, we went to Enchanted Tales with Belle. My daughter got picked to be one of the people holding the cardboard cutout things. I think she was the dresser. So that was really cool. That exceeded my expectations because it was like it was indoors, it was climate controlled. You got to spend like 20 minutes with Belle. My daughter got picked for the show, so that was cool. And it had like the when the mirror turns into the doorway that you walk through, I thought that was like one of the coolest special effects of like the entire trip. Because I totally
Absolutely.
wasn't expecting it.
Yep, absolutely. Some of the best animatronics and magic tricks are right inside that little building.
So then after Enchanted Tales, we stopped at Gaston's Tavern and I got, I think, the biggest cinnamon roll I've ever seen in my life. And it was delicious.
As big as your head.
Oh my God, it's so big. I ate the whole thing, so but it was delicious. We did Buzz Lightyear. We had a little bit of downtime at this point because we're kind of like in between fast passes. So we did the Carousel of Progress, which is exactly as it was the last time I did it 10 years ago. It was basically we were doing it because we had time to kill. We had the unfortunate pleasure of the ride getting stuck on one of the little vignettes, and we had to watch the same one twice. So I was like, oh my God, this ride is already too long. Like now I have to rewatch this thing.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen before. That's funny.
It added like an extra 10 minutes onto what was already a too long ride. Then we went over to that little circus area and we did the Goofy and Donald meet and greet. We didn't do too many meet and greets on this trip. My kids were kind of just like, yeah, if we do them, we do them. We don't, we don't. And I certainly did not want to wait in long lines to do them either, because it meant if you're waiting for that, then you can't do something else. But we did Goofy and Donald while we were over there. And then we did, I went on the Barnstormer with my kids, which was a fun little roller coaster, but it's like the shortest roller coaster I've ever been on.
It is, and you guys had already been on so many bigger, longer ones. So 60-second Barnstormer probably was overwhelming at this point.
So that was, so then we kind of wrapped up that little area there. And in the back of my mind, I was kind of thinking like, if we had the chance, I wanted to try eating at the Skipper Canteen because I know it had gotten really good reviews and it was kind of like one of the overlooked restaurants. So I was able to get a reservation for the Skipper Canteen that I booked like while I was there that day. And the reservation was kind of late in the day for us, but we showed up early and they took us early. I think I showed up maybe half an hour early and I said, look, if you can get us in, that would be great. And they got us in. I think we had to wait 10 minutes and they got us in like a half an hour before the actual reservation. So I really liked that restaurant. I thought the food was really good. The theme was great. I would recommend trying to get a seat in one of the back rooms because it's quieter and it looks nicer. Like the front area is more of like, like cafe style seating. But the back rooms were really cool.
And if people are interested in requesting, they can do that when you check in at the restaurant. You can request a seat in a specific space, and they can try to accommodate you.
Yeah, we just lucked into getting in one of those back rooms. I didn't know like what the layout of the place was. So they just sat us in one of those back rooms and it was really nice. I liked it.
I'm glad you liked it since you booked it last minute and weren't quite sure about it. But yeah, I think it's underrated, easy to get into, good food. I mean, that's been my experience.
So the last thing we did was we used the disability pass for Thunder Mountain Railroad. So we'd actually gone to Thunder Mountain Railroad before lunch, got the disability pass, ate lunch, and then went back to Thunder Mountain Railroad because we had to wait. I think it was maybe 60 minutes or something like that. So we did Thunder Mountain Railroad for the second time, and that was like the last ride we did. We got stuck in the parade. So we were on the wrong side of the parade route with Skipper Canteen. We kind of had to wait for the parade to end before we could cross over to the Splash Mountain side. So we got to see like the last 10 minutes or so of the parade.
The Festival of Fantasy Parade, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was the 3 o'clock parade. I'm not sure what the name of it
Yeah,
is.
yeah.
It's the one that starts over in like Frontierland and makes its way to like Main Street.
Festival of Fantasy.
Yeah, the crowds were insane at the parade. When like we got to the point where we couldn't even move. And then when the parade ended, it was like everyone that was watching the parade in that area had the same idea to go to Splash Mountain and Thunder Mountain Railroad. So luckily we had that fast pass for Thunder Mountain, but as we were walking to Thunder Mountain, we saw the wait time display change like instantly from 60 to 90. And that was the result of all those people getting out of the parade and just walking right over there. But luckily we had the fast pass, so we got right on.
Good.
So then from there it was basically we took the bus back to Caribbean Beach and jumped on the Magical Express to go back to the airport. So the Magical Express left like I think it was 3 hours before our flight time, which was plenty of time to get there. And I think we maybe by the time we got through the security and everything, we got to our gate probably like an hour before the flight.
Yeah, which is not bad at all. And if there's any delays at security, you'll need that extra buffer. Did you
Yep.
guys use Resort Airline check-in for your luggage?
We only brought carry-ons with us. On previous vacations that we've been on, there have been some instances where we kind of got burned with like lost luggage or luggage that didn't find its way to where it was supposed to go. And so we just decided to do carry-ons just to make our lives easier. Especially since we were arriving at Disney World like in the middle of the day, and I didn't know if our room was going to be ready. So I wanted to have the carry-ons available with us so that we could change into more weather-appropriate clothing and, we could carry our snacks with us and things like that.
So, had you left your carry-ons with Bell Services then?
Yep.
Before you went to Magic
Yeah,
Kingdom that day, and then you just went and got them out.
that's right. Yes, that's right. And
Okay.
then we also just dropped off the scooter at Bell Services too. At the end of the trip, we just dropped it off there, and then Apple Scooter picks it up from Bell Services.
Right. And then you made it home safely,
We did.
and then you have to recover from the exhaust.
We got home pretty late that night. I think we by the time we actually got back to our house, it was almost 12 o'clock. So I took the next day off from work too, just to kind of recover from, 6 action-packed days.
Yeah, the vacation from the vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like a successful trip with not too many hiccups.
Yeah, I mean, it went about as well as I could expect it to go, and everyone had a really good time, which was the most important thing.
Yeah, what do you think your kids are going to remember most about the trip?
I think they like basically all the roller coasters best. That seemed to be the thing that they kept wanting to do more and more of was the roller coasters. Thunder Mountain Railroad was one of their favorites. But they, I mean, they liked pretty much everything that we did. So, it's not like they liked one thing and, they were like, oh, I didn't like that. Let's not do that again. Like they liked pretty much everything that we did. I think
Good.
my kids were at like the perfect age for doing a trip like this, that, at 5 and 8, they could handle a Disney trip and they were old enough to like understand and appreciate everything that they were doing.
Yeah, I would agree. They're at really great ages.
Yeah.
They're still little, but not like diaper or nap little. And so it's a perfect pocket of time.
Yeah.
Speaking of, do you have any plans to go back when they're older?
There are a lot of places that we want to go. So I think Disney's going to have to wait a little while before we do a return trip. We probably want to do some more, like more traditional vacations, like around the US and maybe over to Europe. I do know that my sister has two little kids and she's going to want to go to Disney sometime soon. So I think maybe when she decides that she's ready, we might join in that trip. And that might be like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years out, something like that.
Yeah, and that'll be a totally different experience when you
Oh,
have
yeah.
13 and a 10-year-old.
Yeah. I will say that, my wife and I and my two kids physically were got through the trip no problems, but I could definitely tell that for the grandparents on the trip, it was more physically exhausting for them. The scooter was huge for my mother-in-law. She would not have been able to do the trip without the scooter. And my dad was like completely wiped out by the end of the trip. So I don't know if the older generation is going to join us the next time we go, but they were definitely glad that they did it this time. And they were also glad that I was in charge of planning everything because they didn't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah, I think we talk a lot about the good ages for kids, but with multi-generational travel, I think it's also really nice to get to do it with your parents before they can't anymore, even if a scooter is required, because at some point they won't be able to, and so it's nice that you got to do that while everybody was still capable.
Yeah, so that worked out really well.
It did. Well, I have enjoyed hearing about your trip, and I appreciate you taking the time to share it with us.
Oh, thanks. It was a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Matthew. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Matthew all about his trip. Certainly some interesting elements thrown in, and things mostly went according to plan. So I always like hearing how that goes for you guys. And this week's quick tip comes courtesy of Sarah, who says, if you're staying at the Polynesian, use the leis they give you on your stroller for easy spotting. And that's a really good idea. However you do it, you should figure out some way to identify your stroller in the parks because there is a sea of strollers. So when I had kids in strollers, I would go to the dollar store and get a brightly colored handkerchief. Some people use balloons. Some people use some sort of tape or something. Just whatever you can think of to make your stroller stand out, it's going to save you a lot of time. And the leis are certainly a fun way to go about that. So thanks for sending that in, Sarah. I think that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, check the show notes for links to things mentioned in this episode, or you can go to www.prepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and scroll to episode 208. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.